You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM and 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It is 20 till 11 AM on this Friday, November 3rd, as it's time for our Valley Talk program. I'm Tyler Hergert, and joining me today is Corky Reynolds. Corky, how are you doing on this Friday?
I'm doing great. It looks beautiful outside. It's sunny. Maybe we'll get a little melting, and good luck to all the deer hunters. I know they'd like a little bit of snow cover, but I think they'll have enough to track those deer.
Yeah, and a little bit of sunshine. Yeah, no one's going to complain about that during
this time.
Let's hope
not.
Yeah. there are a couple of things that for us to talk about. Of course, you know, everybody's talking about the levy. We're now into November when people are going to start seeing the tax statements, and it's another important month for the city. But let's go over that levy.
Sure. Well, as you listeners may recall, the city did establish a preliminary levy increase of 65.09%. That was done previously, and we had to file that with the county because they used that figure to calculate the tax increase for the city portion of the real estate taxes. On your statement, which you'll receive here in the city of Crookston from the county, there's a specifically designated line that says City of Crookston. You're going to see a number there, not a percentage. What the county does is it calculates 65.09%, translates that into an amount of a tax. That's a number, and that's the number that you will see on your real estate tax statement. And again, a levy increase of 65.09 does not equate or equal 65.09% tax increase. That'll be a number. So when you get your tax statement and you look at the city portion, it's going to look significantly bigger than it did last year. But it's important to remember that was preliminary. And as we've discussed in our meetings and here previously, we are working to reduce that number. Myself, our finance director, and each of our department heads have met regularly, and we have gone through each department's itemized line-by-line budget, seeking to take out or reduce some expenditures. And the department heads here have been very good. They have understood the difference between what we need and what they would like to see. They've been very good at going through and saying, well, you know, I would really like this item, but I understand in the process of good governance, we have to also recognize the citizen's capability to pay. So we have taken out a number of expenditures, which may be eliminated totally even into the future, or which may be put off and brought up again in the future.
I think it's very important to remind people that this is, you know, it's a lot of needs that are on this list. It's kind of, you know, like a personal budget. You might want the nice big flat screen TV, but you need your groceries. And that's really what you guys are figuring out right now.
That's what we're trying to evaluate. And I think our department heads are very good at recognizing the difference between needs and wants. So we have gone through all of the departments now. And we have taken out expenditures. We have yet to consolidate all those reductions, but at the last point where we still had two departments yet to put into that formula, we had reduced that 65.09 down to 24.96, call it 25% levy increase, which if that remained constant, you would see about a 7% increase on your city portion of the taxes. And as I said, we still have the Public Works Department to, we incorporate their reductions, and also the Park and Rec Department, we incorporate their reductions. And so that 24.96 tax increase could come down again. And then we have the council. The council will weigh in, and at our last meeting, the council weighed in, and we showed them some of the reductions, and the council said, well, there are a couple of things that we want back in, even though we had proposed to take them out. The council said, we want that back in. One of those was in the finance department for an additional employee. So that went back in. And so we're still in the process of refining and that process and getting it to a number that will be acceptable to the council. And we'll give them a range. The administration will give them a range of, if you say you want the levy to be increased only by 18%, let's say, this is what it means in terms of taxes and the services that we can provide. If you want it at 25, here's what we can do. And we'll give them scenarios that they can look at and indicate to us what will be acceptable. And on December 11th, we have the Truth in Taxation hearing where people can come and ask questions, can express their opinions about what they've received in their real estate tax statement, saying this would be the increase if we kept it at 65.09.
So is that the purpose of that meeting taking place in December? So then the residents, they can see, okay, here is what is on the tax statement, and then they can ask those questions and get more clarity?
Yes, exactly. The Truth in Taxation here is exactly that. And it does still give the city time because we have to file our final levy increase by the last business day in December. We have filed that with the county. So the hearing, Truth in Taxation hearing date of December 11th, still gives the city and the council at least one more meeting to take into consideration what citizens have expressed, their concerns, and then direct the department, myself as the administrator, take a look at these concerns and see what you can do if you think that they're valid and legitimate to reduce. Very rarely have we seen where someone says, let's make it go higher. But it's possible. So yes, we have that time period, that essentially 2 week, almost 3 week time period to adjust if that's necessary.
So what is the difference between the 65.09% that we've talked about a couple of times and that 24.96% that we've talked about a couple times as well?
Well, the difference is we've removed items of expenditure to bring down what we would have to receive in taxes to pay for those. So that's a big difference. And the tax ends up at about 7% from essentially 20-some percent increase, the tax. So that's a big difference. But we're able to do that because the department heads have been creative in a way. As an example, one of the things we've talked about is in the past, the Park and Rec Department has purchased, or the city's purchased outright, big lawnmowers. Well, that they're significantly costly. This year we've looked at leasing, and it appears that leasing is a better investment or dollar value than purchasing outright. So that may be one of the things that we actually end up doing. Also, just the type of product we can get. We always consult, you know, there's a Minnesota bidding process where all of the bids or costs of items are accumulated in one central site. We can go to that site and look at the various companies that supply products, and their bids are right there. We don't have to spend the time going out and soliciting those, and we can get the best value for the dollar off of those sites potentially. So the department heads are doing that. The department heads are looking at staffing. You know, staffing is a big component of the city budget. And how do we best do our staffing? Is it different shifts? Is it who we hire, when, those kind of things? So yeah, the department heads and myself, as well as our finance director, are really making an effort to reduce expenditures because we know initially the council set that 65.09 high so that the department heads would have the most flexibility they could to really hard evaluate what's the best value for our dollar. The council did not arbitrarily just say the levy is going to be 18%. That makes it real hard because then some of the things that you would want and some of the things you would need, how do you weigh those off? So that was a strategic type of decision by the council to set it high, knowing it's preliminary, knowing it would come down, but giving the department heads a really good chance to evaluate wants and needs.
And I would imagine that on the council, it's a lot easier to explain to the citizens why it's going down rather than going up.
Exactly. And with the preliminary levy, you can't go up from that. That locks you in, and you can only go down. So if the council were to make an arbitrary decision of a very low preliminary levy, and then it became apparent that the needs were more than that, you couldn't raise that. So they did a very strategic thing.
It gives them more runway in just in case more needs come up.
Correct, correct. You know, we try to anticipate the future, but it is an estimate. It is a guesstimate. You can't always budget for those acute things that happen. A water main breaks, the pool leaks, the things that just come up because. So the council gave the departments a lot of leeway to try to anticipate some of those things.
And that's why when people originally see their tax statements, it will signify that 65.09%.
It'll be a number, not a percent, but a number which equates to a tax increase. So that difference between last year's city portion of your real estate tax and this year will look large. And it is preliminarily, but understanding that will come down at the end.
And it will be finalized at some point in December?
It has to be finalized no later than the last business day of December. And really, it will be finalized either at the truth in taxation hearing, unlikely, but at the meeting subsequent when the council's had a chance to consider what the citizens have said, their constituents have indicated to them, and then the directive to the administration and department heads to, here's where we think we'd like to be. How do we get there?
Very important stuff with the levy, and it's still playing out in real time, and there's still time for people to voice their questions. And, of course, the great time is going to be at that Truth in Taxation hearing.
Or even before, because if someone were to have a question now and submit it to myself or someone in the city, we have a chance to answer, and we have a chance to have it considered in conjunction with those comments that are at the Truth in Taxation hearing.
Is there a way people can submit those questions before the meetings?
Oh, sure. If they want to write them out and drop them off at the city, if they want to go to our website and submit a question, call and submit one, absolutely. Absolutely.
Multiple different ways people can get involved, even before the meetings. And, of course, the meetings are also great ways people can get involved.
Right. It's not, you can't think that I can only come to that meeting. If I have a question before, obviously get it into us. We'll take a look at it.
Recently, there were some letters of intent that were discussed.
Yes. The EDA, the Economic Development Authority here in Crookston, has been solicited, as have other municipalities, for some grants from the state and federal governments. A solicitation just alerts the city, hey, we're going to have some money, some grants available in the future. And in response to that solicitation, we are asked to submit a letter of intent, which means we just say, yes, we're interested in this particular grant. Here are the project or projects we have available. And then after we submit that letter of intent, we can be informed that, yes, send in your application and it'll be considered. We have had three letters of intent that have gone out basically with respect to safe routes to school. We have a project potentially that will have walkways, walk paths that transverse maybe like Eickhoff Boulevard from the high school to Ray Eklund complex. That's one of the projects potentially to happen. We also in the future are going to be evaluating the proposals that we received for an analysis of our city streets, water, wastewater, and we will be making a decision on them in the next couple of weeks if we're going to select an engineering firm to conduct that study and then at what cost. And then if one is selected, that will commence probably in early spring of 2024. where they conduct an analysis of each and every street in the city, the water and wastewater infrastructure, and make a recommendation to us about which streets need immediate attention, which can wait, and which don't need any attention. Same with the infrastructure. Where are we needing to upgrade our infrastructure? And that's a significant undertaking. And then we'll be talking about if we get a proposal, if that's accepted and the analysis is done, how are we going to go about doing that?
What goes into those decisions, into what streets need to get those repairs, what streets don't, you know, the water and sewers, what goes into
The engineering firms have their criteria about, you know, how old is your street? You typically think a street will last about 20 years. What type of surface is it? What state of disrepair or repair is it in? Same with the infrastructure, the water, the wastewater, analysis of the pipes. Are they corroded? Are they not? Are they iron? Are they PVC? What are they? And then they prioritize which ones need attention now. And then we can get an estimate of what that cost would be. You know, there are significant costs to infrastructure. As an example, a street reconstruct, similar to what happened on Alexander Street, that's $675 a foot. That's the cost. Well, if you have a 1,000-foot street, that's a significant cost. And hopefully we'll get some analysis about which streets need repair now. Which ones can we hold off on? Same with the infrastructure. But I don't know the last time that was done. And the council and the department heads have all said, this is really important. We get this done so we know where we're at.
You know, sometimes the infrastructure is something that we forget about because it might not be something we immediately see. But then when it really crumbles, then we really see it, and it has a huge effect.
Exactly. Out of sight, out of mind. We in Crookston typically take for granted our street. It works. We can drive our car. We typically take for granted the delivery of water, the wastewater going away. We don't think about that. But those things do have a life of their own, and those need to be attended to, and that's why we're anticipating selecting one of these engineering firms to do that, so that we can be aware within the city, so we can plan, and citizens can be aware, hey, my street might be number one. Maybe I need to plan how that's going to happen for my personal budget.
So, yeah, sometimes it's one of those things where you don't really think about it until it goes wrong. And then when it goes wrong, it can be really wrong and it can affect you, especially if it's like a street, for example, like we're talking about. Well, maybe that's a street you take to commute to work. And now you have to really think about how you're getting to and from work or getting to and from the grocery store and other things of that nature.
Right. And one of the things that it's important, I think, for people to understand is typically you're going to get the infrastructure done in 1 year. You wait a year so that all of the dirt and components can settle, then you do the reconstruct of the street. Sometimes people say, well, why don't we do it all at once? Well, if you do that, you have the risk that the dirt and the infrastructure will sink. If you put the street on top of it at that time, you can get dips, you can get cracking, you can get and have to come back and do it again. We're not going to do the street 1 year, dig it up, then put the infrastructure in. It's a process that makes sense. Practically and economically to do it that way. First infrastructure, then street overlay.
And candidly, it just doesn't make sense to do something the wrong way the first time and then have to circle back and do it all over again.
Exactly. It's more costly. It's a hindrance to the travel on the street. It's a lot of things that just don't need to happen.
When is the next meeting?
The next council meeting will be on November 13th. This is one of those two times during the year where we have 3 weeks between council meetings because of the way we have council meetings on the second and fourth Mondays, and twice during the year. That's a three-week interlude between that.
Well, Corky, we look forward to speaking with you on Valley Talk after that meeting takes place. And thank you very much for coming on today. Is there any final thoughts you have on this Friday?
No, it's a beautiful day for you deer hunters. I hope you each and every one of you get your 12-point buck or however you measure that. Be safe out there and enjoy the sun.
Corky, thank you very much for coming on today's Valley Talk.
You're welcome.
So that was Corky Reynolds, the city administrator, on today's Valley Talk program.